meals. They tell stories. That's what we've been talking about for the past 5 weeks. We've been looking at these mealtime narratives that we find primarily in the Gospel of Luke. We have consumed the narratives at these mealtimes encounters that Jesus had in the Gospel of Luke. There are characters in these stories that we find ourselves identifying with, and then there are moments in these stories where we find ourselves shocked and clutching our pearls and like, oh my, Jesus said, what? But that's what happens at these meals in the Gospel of Luke. There's a lot that goes on. At these mealtime encounters with Jesus, we saw in one sermon the need to see our imperfections and to know that Jesus can deal with all of our imperfections. We looked at the story of Jesus eating at the house of a tax collector by the name of Levi. Tax collectors were these men who were hated by their fellow Jews, by their fellow Israelites, because of the despicable ways that they would cheat their fellow men and get their taxes. But Jesus caught Levi with all of his imperfections and was going to do something amazing with Levi, like sending him out so that he could go get more disciples. At another meal encounter, we came to grips with our own sinfulness and being indebted to Jesus. Because of all of the sins that Jesus has forgiven us of, we are indebted to him for forgiving us and showing us mercy. Like the woman who came in and cried on the feet of Jesus and dried the tears off with her hair and anointed him with an expensive oil. We say thank you. When is the last time you just said thank you, God? Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. At another mealtime encounter, we were encouraged to look inside of our lives and to do some introspection. Jesus came at the Pharisees and said, you guys are so worried about what goes on the outside, and you're so worried about being seen, but what about what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? What about justice and what about helping people out? You heap on folks these hard rules and laws and you do nothing to help them out. Not only that, you don't even follow them yourselves. Time for us to look deep inside, do some introspection. It was at a mealtime encounter that Jesus revealed to us our mission. Jesus wants us to be mindful of the last, the lost, the least, the left out, and the lonely. We have a mission to invite people to the table that often don't get invitations to the table because they don't have enough money, they don't have enough status, they don't look right, they don't smell right. We're supposed to invite everyone to the table. And then last week, we spent a mealtime encounter with Jesus with some friends, Mary and Martha. And Martha was so carried away and busy with all of the duties getting ready for dinner, such that she didn't enjoy the better part, the better choice, which was what Mary was doing. That was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. We were called last week to slow down and enjoy the presence of Jesus, to be discipled, hoping to be mentored by the Lord himself. This morning, having already shared in the Lord's Supper, may we be spurred to evoke the memory of God's liberating work in our lives. Evoking the memory of God's liberating work in our lives. We read and listened to the sermon text from Luke chapter 22, verse 23 verses. There is much to see in Jesus' Last Supper. This was his final meal. And it was a Passover meal. The Passover meal, by definition, is a meal that tells a story. Within the setting of the Passover meal, we garner instructions for the meal of which we partake of every week. That's the Lord's Supper. We remember here Jesus, in the context of this Passover meal, giving bread and wine to his disciples and saying, do this in remembrance of me. But not only that, we also gain some insight into the heart of Jesus, his heart for the world, and his role as Passover lamb. What was the Passover lamb, and why is it at the heart of the Lord's Supper? Now, we might be inclined to think that the Passover lamb was sacrificed as a sin offering, but that would not be the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was sacrificed to symbolize something else. Remember, Passover is a meal designed to tell a story. Even in the present day, there are those who still celebrate Passover. They recreate a setting that is thousands of years old, and it's set up to tell a story. It is to tell the story, to recreate the story of the Exodus from Egypt. To many, the Exodus is the preeminent story of the nation of Israel. It was God's crowning achievement post-creation. And the meal highlights the key moments of the story. Here's a sample Seder plate that you might see at a meal. Part of it's cut off, so you can't see all of it, but I'll try my best to explain it. At the number one position is the zeroah, or a roasted shank bone, normally of a lamb. A roasted shank bone often was placed on the Seder plate to represent the Passover sacrifice that the Israelites offered in ancient times. Now, since the destruction of the temple, they no longer sacrifice animals, but they roast a lamb to represent the sacrifice of the lamb. Next to that, you would see a roasted egg. It's called the betza. A roasted egg symbolized the circle of life, the cycle of renewal, and it was often eaten as a part of the Seder meal. Then there's the maror, or bitter herbs. This bitter herb is normally horseradish. I don't know, how many of y'all like horseradish with your roast beef and everything? Gross. I have never gotten a horseradish thing. I've tried my best to do it. It clears the sinuses pretty good. But anyhow, on the Seder plate, the horseradish was there as a bitter herb, and you would eat the horseradish as a way to symbolize the bitterness of slavery. Slavery in Egypt. Next to that, would be carpus, or a green vegetable. Now, in this plate, they have an onion, which you could use onion, celery, sometimes parsley. You'll see parsley again here in a second. But this parsley was dipped in salty water and eaten to symbolize all the tears that Israel cried while they were in slavery. I want you to note, see how this meal is telling a story. Next to that is karaset. Karaset was a sweet mixture of chopped nuts, apples, and wine, and it was made like a paste. And then what that was to represent the mortar that they used to make all the buildings in Egypt. And then another carpus, green vegetable. And what you would do is you would take the green vegetable and the karaset, and then you would take, which is not pictured on this plate, a piece of matzah bread, the herbs, the sweet, and you would eat that as a part of the meal. So as I mentioned, not mentioned here is the matzah bread. So you'd have three pieces of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread was to represent the haste in which Israel had to leave Egypt. They had no time to put leavening in the bread. So they have unleavened bread. There would be three pieces of bread that they would put on the table. They would take the middle piece, break it, and wrap it, and then they would hide that around the house. And then the kids later on as a game would have to go find the matzah bread. There was also on this table four cups of wine, and the wine would be drinking at several moments throughout the meal, cups of blessings. Now overall, the Passover meal is this rich and meaningful tradition that connects the Jewish people to their history, to their heritage, and to their faith. It serves as a reminder of the importance of freedom, redemption, and the enduring covenant between God and the Jewish people. So what I would propose is that every time we eat bread and drink of the cup, it's not just this, here comes the cracker and juice time. No, this is a special sacred moment where our hearts and minds are drawn to God. And not just God, not just how big he is, how powerful he is, namely in this context, the liberating and freeing work of God. That God has set us free from so much. That God has liberated us from so much. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, there is much to think about and meditate upon as we eat. When we come together to eat the bread and drink the cup, it is designed to spur us to remember that Jesus is our Passover lamb. Therefore, we are prompted to reflect that Jesus is our liberation, that Jesus is our freedom, that Jesus is our escape. Jesus is our way out. Jesus is our release. And Jesus is our redemption. When we come together, we need to see Jesus as our Passover lamb, the one who has set us free from all the oppression, from everything that has enslaved us, from everything that has caught a hold of us. He is our freedom, escape. He's our way out, our release, our redemption. When we eat the bread and when we drink the cup, we are to consider that Jesus is our way out or our exodus, that Jesus is our relief, that Jesus is our deliverance, that Jesus is our healing. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, our memories are agitated to remember that Jesus heard our cry, that Jesus saw our hurt, that Jesus knows our struggle, and that Jesus feels our pain. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, it is a summons to remember that God is powerful, that God is present, that God performs miracles, that God prevails against the enemy. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, our memory is drawn to the God who gives water to the thirsty, God who gives food to the hungry, God who gives strength to the weak, and God who gives victories to the defeated. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are blessed to recall the God who picked us up when we were down, the God who comforts us when we mourn, the God who straightens up the crooked, and the God who fixes the broken. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, our minds are drawn to a God who is amazing, a God who is beautiful, a God who is caring, a God who is divine, a God who is eternal, a God who is faithful, a God who is gracious, a God who is holy. The next time you eat the bread and drink the cup, don't be hesitant to recall a God who is infinite, a God who is just, a God who is kind, a God who is loving, a God who is merciful, a God who is near, a God is omnipotent, a God who is peace. I had to stop at P because I didn't get a word for Q. To dine with Jesus at the Lord's table is a moment to remember that God is liberator. And God's liberation was about to be made manifest in the culminating work of Jesus. In just a few hours after this meal, Jesus would be arrested. He will be tried. He will be convicted. And he would be sentenced to death. And his death would be the means to our freedom. It would be the means to our liberation from all the garbage in this life that has enslaved us. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is our liberation. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the Exodus. Now we long to be freed from all that entangles us and enslaves us and ensnares us. We long to be unchained from the sin in this world, the symptoms of this world, and the systems of this world. It was during this meal that the disciples started to argue about greatness. Just had this moment with Jesus, just spent time rehearsing the history of Israel and their liberation, and they start arguing about greatness. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Remember in earlier sermons, Jesus talked about people who come in and they take the special seats. They want to sit in the seats of honor. This is likely what they're talking about. Like, who is sitting in the better, in the best seat? They started arguing about who's greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." It was either William Gladstone, a 19th century prime minister of England, or Jimi Hendrix, who said, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." It was probably the prime minister, but it would be cool if it was Jimi Hendrix. "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe that there's so many people in our world that is so hungry for power? Jesus is saying, when the power of love overcomes your love of power, there will be peace. So in addition to the Lord's Supper being a meal of memory, it is also a meal that compels us to acknowledge our place with one another. You see, at the Lord's table, we are not jockeying for a better position. We looked at this again in previous weeks. At the Lord's table, we are eager to find ways to express our love through service. Thus, the Apostle Paul picks up this mantle of understanding as he shares about the Lord's Supper with the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse number 27, Paul writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body," I want you to pay attention to that word, this phrase, "discerning the body, you eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you're hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come." Ever since I was a little boy going to church, we were told to examine ourselves. And that was a moment for us during communion to get quiet, get inside our head, and to think about all the sins that we've committed. And if we committed sins, we were to, now we had trays. Remember those days a long time ago? We used to pass a tray. If you examined yourself and you had sin in your life, you were to pass the plate. And that's an okay practice. That's not what Paul is talking about here, though. Paul here is talking about a situation in Corinth where folks were coming to the Lord's Supper. First thing that Paul says, "Yeah, I've heard about the Lord's Supper." Let me tell you something. That's not the Lord's Supper. Because what's going on is people are coming together. The Lord's Supper was part of a bigger meal. And what would happen is the rich folks would come first and they would eat all the food up. And then the poor people will come and there would be no food left. And that's why Paul says, if you're that hungry that you need to gorge yourself and eat at home before you come to church, before you come to the gathering with this or during this fellowship meal. You do that. You got wine at home. Drink that at home. This is not what this is about. In the Corinthian culture, there were these parties where the goal of the party was for you to eat yourselves to death, where you would actually start to vomit. Paul said, that's not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a time for you to consider everybody. So examine yourself that you're not trying to gorge yourself or eat yourself to vomiting. Examine yourself to make sure that everybody takes part. Discerning the body, the larger body of Christ. Make sure everyone participates. Make sure you don't eat everything up and drink everything up. You are to consider others. Some might say, that's serving one another, just like Jesus said at the Lord's Supper. So it's in that vein that we eat and we drink. We remember. Dining with Jesus at the Lord's table is a time for memory. And it's also a time to consider. Consider one another. I knew Dana and Dean couldn't be here today because they're in the hospital. They're at the James fighting cancer. But I wanted to leave them with something when I went to go visit on Thursday. I gave them one of these cups. This cup is made out of olive wood. Olive wood from Bethlehem. It's very pretty, ornate, very simple. And I gave two of these to Dean while Dana was in surgery. And I said, hey, I wanted to give both of you one of these cups because I want you to remember every time you see this cup that the body of Christ is praying for you. This cup can conjure up a lot of memories regarding God as liberator, Jesus as our exodus, and church, the body of Christ. I want each of us to have one of these. Shepherds, I think, are going to come forward and pass these out, make sure that everyone has one of these. I would encourage you to keep this with you. Maybe it's something you just keep in your pocket or keep in your purse or keep on your desk. Maybe put it somewhere on a mantle so that every time you see this cup, you know that you are part of something bigger and part of something greater, that God is your liberator, that God has established a covenant with you to be your freedom. That God is so powerful to bring you out of whatever ensnares you. That God is an oppression breaker. And he will free you by the blood of the Passover lamb. Let it also be a reminder that we are in this together. That we drink this cup together. That we participate in this meal together. And that we can get through this life together. May this be a reminder that Jesus, our Lamb, is a wonderful, merciful Savior who longs to eat this meal with each and every one of us. May every time we eat this meal, may we remember that God is present, that he is able, that he is willing to break every chain that we might be ensnared in. As we sing this next song, I pray that you hear the chains breaking. that you hear the ropes being untied, that everything that has us tangled up, we will be free from. If during the singing of this song, we can pray for you, we could be with you, spend time with you, there's something you want to share with the body of Christ. We are your family. Remember, we're blood. If there's anything you want to share with the body of Christ, you feel free to come and share that with the shepherds. Today is the day you want to give your life to the Lamb of God. You want to confess faith, be baptized into Jesus. You can do that. Let's stand. Let's sing.